A woman walks onto a beach carrying nothing but exhaustion. Not the kind that sleep can fix, the deeper kind, the soul weariness that comes from being pulled in too many directions for too long. She doesn't know it yet, but this moment will spark a book that will sell over 3 million copies and speak to generations of readers who've never even seen the ocean she's standing beside. Anne Morrow Lindbergh's Gift from the Sea wasn't written as a manifesto or a manual. It was written as a woman trying to catch her breath. And in doing so, she captured something universal about what it means to be human in a world that demands too much. Here's what happens when you actually stop. Nothing, at first. You arrive at the beach with your carefully packed bag. Books you'll finally read, thoughts you'll finally organize, work you'll finally complete. The beach laughs at your plans. Sand invades your pages. The sun makes screens unreadable. Your body, sensing freedom, stages a coup. It simply refuses to cooperate with your productivity agenda. This surrender isn't defeat. It's the doorway. Your city rhythms fade beneath something older. Waves hitting shore, wind moving through pines, birds tracing patterns across dunes. You stretch out on the sand and become as bare and simple as the beach itself. Time stops measuring itself in hours and starts measuring itself in tides. By the second week, your mind awakens differently. Thoughts drift like lazy waves, tossing up unexpected treasures, insights you couldn't force, memories you'd forgotten, solutions to problems you'd stopped trying to solve. A shell appears on the shore, then another. Each carries its own quiet teaching. But here's the paradox. These gifts only come when you stop hunting for them. The harder you grasp, the more they slip away. The sea teaches that anxiety and impatience yield nothing. What's required is lying empty and open, waiting without agenda, a practice our achievement-obsessed culture has forgotten entirely. Pick up a channeled whelk. Notice its perfect spiral, elegant, purposeful, complete. Now examine your life. How many obligations crowd your calendar? How many possessions fill your closets? Modern life operates on accumulation. More activities, connections, and stuff equals success. But the whelk asks the opposite question, not how much we need, but how little. Women especially feel this fragmentation, pulled outward like spokes from a hub, managing households, nurturing relationships, pursuing careers, meeting endless obligations. The centrifugal force scatters us until we lose our center entirely. Spiritual traditions speak of the single eye, focused, centered consciousness. But how do we achieve it when our attention is demanded everywhere? Simplification isn't deprivation, it's discernment. Which activities truly nourish versus merely fill time? Which relationships enrich versus drain? Which possessions serve versus demand servitude through maintenance? The whelk's spiral offers a template. Elegant sufficiency over chaotic excess. When overwhelmed, pause and ask, what is essential? What can I release? Beauty emerges not from addition, but subtraction, not from complexity, but from clarity. A moon shell spirals like an eye, evoking islands, both physical and temporal, like vacations cut from ordinary time. Islands force presence, making each day complete. People can become island-like too, self-contained yet connected, respecting solitude while sharing a common sea. We are fundamentally islands, though we deny this constantly. We fear solitude so intensely we fill every moment with noise, anything to avoid the void within. Yet when we deliberately practice solitude, life rushes back richer and more vivid. Time alone, paradoxically, makes us feel more connected to everything. Women especially need this renewal, yet claiming it remains revolutionary. We want to give, but resent giving ourselves in purposeless fragments. Without the indispensability that sustained pioneer women, modern women fill the void with endless distractions. But here's the truth. Like milk in the breast, we must be replenished. Solitude is this nourishment. The challenge isn't merely finding time alone, but learning to still the soul, to be the calm center within the spinning wheel. This isn't selfishness, it's survival. A double sunrise shell displays perfect symmetry, two translucent halves bound by a golden hinge, marked with rosy rays. It represents relationships at their beginning, pure, present, unencumbered. Every connection starts this way, creating one world between two people. But inevitably, responsibilities intrude and exclusive absorption fades. When relationships grow difficult, we're tempted to seek a new partner, believing fresh love will restore what we've lost. But another relationship can't restore your sense of identity. That comes from creative activity springing from within. The pure relationship can be temporarily rediscovered by recreating its circumstances. Couples vacationing alone together, or spending time alone with each child periodically. We all wish to be loved alone, but our error is desiring continuity of this exclusive love. Sunrise moments are valid, but not permanent. All living relationships change, expand, and build new forms. The double sunrise shell teaches us to honor the perfection of beginnings while embracing the inevitability of change. The challenge isn't preserving what was, but discovering what can be. The oyster shell represents marriage's middle years, untidy, heavily encrusted, clinging through storms. Its rough exterior bears witness to financial hardships, health challenges, and daily friction. This intricate tapestry develops through living side by side, looking outward together. As middle age approaches, the tide recedes. Children leave, careers plateau, the house echoes with quiet. Perhaps this should be a period of shedding, ambition, possessions, ego. Though physical adventures diminish, there's liberation in this stillness, opening space for intellectual and spiritual growth. The oyster shell teaches resilience, how enduring relationships become layered with experience, rough outside, but developing inner richness. The oyster creates its most precious substance, the pearl, through irritation and time. Perhaps our relationships, too, develop their most valuable qualities through difficulties. Arguments lead to deeper understanding, compromises teach humility, shared sacrifices build trust. All become pearls in their own right. As you leave your island, consider what you've gained. Island living naturally limits choices. There are experiences and people, but not too many. Simplicity forces physical activity, bicycling, swimming, collecting driftwood. Tasks that burden you at home become refreshing here. Upon returning, practice conscious selectivity, simplicity to retain awareness, balance of physical, intellectual, and spiritual life, work without pressure, space for significance and beauty, time for solitude and sharing, closeness to nature. The shells will remind you. The island teaches that limitations can be liberating. When choices are constrained, we often find greater satisfaction than when facing unlimited possibilities. Curate your life by thoughtfully selecting experiences and possessions aligned with your deepest values. The art of selection creates space for what matters most. In a culture equating more with better, the shells whisper different wisdom. Enough is a feast. The sea teaches patience, faith, openness, simplicity, solitude, intermittency. But there are other beaches to explore, more shells to find. This is only a beginning. 20 years later, the author marveled that her personal meditations resonated despite revolutionary social changes. Young women today astound with their accomplishments, better mothers, equals to their husbands, managing enriching lives through careful planning. Are they happier? Perhaps not, but they are more honest, courageous, and aware. This little book endures because it addresses timeless human needs, simplicity amid complexity, solitude amid connection, meaning amid mundanity. How do we live with purpose? How do we balance our many roles? How do we nurture relationships while honoring our own needs? The shells offer wisdom, not as fixed answers, but as invitations to discover your own truths. In a world measuring worth through productivity, the beach whispers a radical alternative, Sometimes the most important thing is lying empty and open, waiting for what the tide brings. Your worth isn't determined by accomplishments, but by how fully you inhabit your life. The Sea's gift is a reminder that you already contain everything you need. You just have to get quiet enough to hear it.